Welcome to TechNori Live. We're back in studio at WGN talking with some of Chicago's top entrepreneurs, founders, and innovators. For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, what is TechNori? Well, put simply, TechNori is where startups go to showcase. Since 2010, nearly 300 startups have been featured, and to date, they've gone on to raise more than $260 million in funding. Speaking of featuring startups, November is a special month for us. We announced our next startup showcase at Chase Auditorium will be Wednesday, November 16th, and it's dedicated to our incredible veteran entrepreneurs. Buy your tickets today at TechNori.com using promo code WGN and save 20%. And now let's get to the good stuff. I'm Scott Catoon and this is TechNori Live. It's election day. I feel like it's one of those idiocracy, do or die moments for this country. And when you factor that in, plus I'm a little bit under the weather, I figured I could use some kick ass tea. Enter my friend Patrick Tanous and TS to T.
All right. How we feeling, Scott?
I'm good. I'm better now that we got this pretty sweet mug. Oh, I didn't even read the back of this. Anything is possible once you've had your tea.
Yeah, dude. And you got to live loose. TST is all about living
loose. Well, I'm loose. Living loose, man.
Speaking of living loose, today provides a great day for the Americans to exercise their right to live loose, right?
I hope they live.
Similar to being free.
Isn't that, we're all about freedom here.
Absolutely.
Freedom fries, freedom everything.
There you go.
Well, you know, the nice thing is I didn't even realize this when I asked you to come on. I was thinking about tea and I was thinking about caffeine and just trying to like oxidize and energize and all this other stuff. And I know you've got all these different tea brands, which I'm probably going to have to use all of them today. You are now bringing in some tea that has some booze in it. Is that correct?
Yeah, I brought you a little... I brought you a beer from our partner. This isn't the one.
That's my man.
This isn't the one, but this is one of the beers, their bestsellers. It's called Smash Pumpkin. But yeah, we're going to be one of the...
Isn't that some stuff?
I knew you'd like it. It's not too hard to please you with something like that.
You know what the funny thing is? This morning, I was talking to my girlfriend before we... she had to work. I had downtown. And she said to me... she just kind of looked over and she was like, drinks tonight. And I was like, drinks tonight. And like, you know, I'm just woke up. I barely know what the hell's going on. It's like election day. She's like, I can't sit there and watch this election night without having drinks. It's like, well, we've got drinks. We're all set.
Awesome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But that's just sort of the hint into where we're going.
Yeah.
You guys are actually making tea beer.
Yes.
And not just like the stupid shit that's like tea that has like or beer that has like a hint of tea. This is like multiple ingredients, like the real deal. Tell me.
Yeah. So we're infusing beer. It's a wheat ale infused with two of our teas.
I apologize for drinking my Starbucks coffee.
No worries, man. Starbucks got a great product. But yeah, we're infusing two different of our teas into wheat beers. So we've got a Maui Mango wheat ale and also a Fireberry wheat ale. Both of those teas we replace in the brewing process. Our partner Shipyard Brewery in Portland, Maine, they take the hops out of the brewing process and actually replace it with tea. So you're getting a tea it's not bitter at all. You're getting these nice, fruity, sweet notes from the tea, but it's not too sweet. So it's a great balance between a refreshing beverage and a beer.
Yeah.
And you can drink tons of it. It's only got tons
of
it. I don't know about that.
We've been out together.
4.7%, right? You know, an IPA is ranging at like 6-7% alcohol, and you can't drink too many of the IPAs when they have that much alcohol content.
I mean, you can. You did. I was going to say, we've been out together, and I think tons of it is probably the best way to describe how that went. It was both the next days is like, man, did you get home? Like, I don't even know.
Yeah, well, that was too many IPAs.
IPAs.
If you're drinking this, you will never get
We could
to
have had
level.
As many of these as we did IPAs, and we would have been fine the next day.
Yeah, absolutely. And the cool thing about this beer, it's actually infused with yerba mate from Argentina. So yerba mate is a natural caffeine stimulant. So this beer, rather than being tired after you drink it, you're going to feel a little natural energy kick after you drink it, which is pretty cool.
Okay, so on that, before we get into more like as to what Tiesta tea is, I'm going to tell you this funny little story, and I think some of my friends all know this story, because this is like what I used to do. Full disclosure and disclaimer, do not do this. Do not try this. Kids, if you're tired, startup companies that want to drink beer and work all night, do not try this, but it worked for me, so you should try it. I used to take Miller Lite, Coors Light, whatever it was I was drinking, I would drink a lot of it. We'd have pictures of it going by. And I would go buy a Red Bull, and I would just pour the Red Bull in periodically throughout the night into my drink. So, like, Red Bull and vodka tastes absolutely terrible. It's essentially, you know, doctors tell you it's essentially like taking cocaine. It's just absolutely brutal. So, like, if I drank Red Bull and vodka, my heart would be like, pop, 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 pop. So I couldn't do anymore. But I was falling asleep, and beer, naturally, for whatever reason, when I drink beer, it makes me tired. Unless I drink a shitload of it. So, which I usually do. But in this particular case, I used to just pour Red Bull all night long. I'd sprinkle Red Bull throughout my beer, and it'd have this like nasty foamy top
to
it.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. And people were just like, what in the hell is your problem? This is a solution to that. I don't have to do that anymore.
You know what? It's another great thing about this is when you go to lunch and you have a beer at lunch, you're not going to go back to your desk and feel a little tired. You know,
that's the reason I don't. I mean, there's other reasons. I'm not an alcoholic, actually. It sounds like it sometimes, but I don't drink during the day if like work and stuff like that. But one of the main reasons I don't have like a cocktail with like people at a meeting at lunch is because of that. I don't want to go back feeling lethargic. So you're saying that this is a way that maybe you would feel either less lethargic or have some
100%. You know, I can't really. I'm very weak to caffeine. When I have caffeine in my body, I can feel it immediately. I was out in Portland, Maine with our brewer partner on Friday, and I had a sip of this beer at about 11:30. I was just trying it. I had a half a cup. I was my lips were perspirating. Yeah. You know, I was sweating, and it was and I told my partner Bruce. I said, "Bruce, I can feel it, man. Yeah. Like this energy is palpable."
Well, and you have a lot of energy to begin with. So the idea that you on caffeine like on top of it is just sort of
the way we like to describe this beer is it's a superpower beverage in a bottle, right? And there's three reasons why. First reason is you've got tea is the base of the beverage, right? Tea is a really healthy beverage. We're using hibiscus, we're using mangoes, pineapples, lots of vitamin C from that. So you got the healthy aspect from the tea. The second thing is that makes it a superpower in a bottle is you know, beer makes you feel pretty good. Let's be real. You don't need me to tell you that, Scott. And then the third thing is you add the yerba mate factor to it for a little energy, and you've got an energy component to it. So you got a slight health component, a feel-good component, and an energy component all in one beverage, not to mention it tastes great. So when you put it that way, it really is superpowers in a bottle.
This is awesome. So, I have to ask you, though, you know, now we're going to transition into people who don't know what TST is and all that sort of stuff. Were you born naturally knowing how to pronounce all these tea things? Because I see all the, how did it say it again? Yerba mate. It would take me 14 tries to get that, and if I saw it, I wouldn't even know how to sound it out. You've come on the show before, you know, before it was called Technology Live, and would, name drop all these ingredients, and I'm looking at it and just like, how in the hell? Did you know that, right off the bat?
When me and my business partner, Dan, when we started this, we weren't big tea drinkers.
Yeah.
You know, the whole concept behind Tiesta Tea, our mission is to make loose leaf tea understandable, accessible, and affordable. And really, it's because consumers like you and I, the millennial generation, we didn't understand tea. Yeah. We didn't understand what it was, and I can confuse the hell out of you by telling you it's yerba mate, Chinese green tea from the Fuzhen province, from Fuzhou, from Shenzhen, Dongguan, wherever, but no one cares.
I still get caught up because it says chai, chai thing. I don't understand that. Chai. It's like chai is tea. It's like, it's like tea.
Because in India, they don't drink just straight black tea. They drink chai tea. So they'll actually make black tea, and they'll steep cinnamon and cloves and cardamom and ginger, and that's their tea. So they won't just drink a straight black tea. They'll drink a chai.
We have an official tea connoisseur for this show.
Yeah. It's Patrick. Yeah, and, you know, tea connoisseur, it's not the right word for us, but tea.
What, they've got with the wine sommelier, right? Is there a tea sommelier? What's the version?
I mean, I hate to say it, but that would just be a tea snob. You know, there's so many people
out
there.
Well, no, but it's not about the snobbery. I mean, it's the knowledge base of the historical context around what people are drinking in tea and just knowing all of the different things. You know a ton about tea.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you have to because that's your job. You run a company, but I mean, it's impressive.
Thank you, man.
It's very impressive.
And we bring all that knowledge to our products.
You're building a very tremendous company, I have to tell you. Tremendous. It's a very, very impressive company.
Too kind of you, Scott. And, you know, we'd like to say we're Chicago's tea company. We import all of our ingredients from Europe into the United States. So actually, we source roughly 500 different ingredients from 80 different countries, and they're all stored in Hamburg, Germany. Hamburg's in the center of the world, so it's a great hub for ingredients and spices. So believe it or not, 90% of the world's herbs and spices come through Hamburg. So we don't just do regular tea, right? Our green tea is mixed with pineapple, rose petals, papaya to sweeten it a little
bit. So that's what I want to get into, because the two things. One, and it's awesome that it comes through Chicago. You guys you're true to your roots in Chicago, obviously.
Absolutely.
But the packaging, and you kind of talked about it a little bit, and obviously now we've pounded around it a little bit. Let's just get into what Tiesta is. But you talked about the fact that a lot of the millennials, myself sort of included, don't understand tea. And if I were to shop for it, I'd go on the shelf at Jewel, and I would see 1,000 different types of things. And personally, when I go into the tea aisle, I have no idea if I'm in the tea aisle or if I'm in the spices aisle. I literally have no clue. That's how stupid I am.
Not you. The category is confusing.
All right, well, I'll take that as a comment. But the bottom line is I still don't know. And so, therefore, I just leave. I just go buy coffee or something because I don't want to have something I don't know what it is. And the packaging that you guys created, and I took a picture of it and actually tweeted it out a couple weeks ago when I was at Mariano's, and I saw the aisle of Tiesta Tea. There is a wall of tea. It looks like I don't even know what it looks like. It looks like walking into like a pot dispensary in Colorado. Just a wall of random tea. I have no clue what it is. You get to the corner of the end of the aisle, you'll be happy to know that your product placement was fantastic. So whoever the PL is going to is doing a great job. Bob Mariano's put it in the right aisle. But the bottom line is, it was very clear. Obviously, your packaging looks very much similar to the Jimmy John's packaging with regard to like the potato chips and things. It was clear what it is, the exact ingredients, the impact of this tea. This tea keeps you up. This tea puts you to sleep. This tea gives you a kick. This tea is healthy. This tea is clean. If you drank too much last night, this is your tea. It's purple. You know, like in all of that sort of stuff. Tremendous job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
It actually made it to where I would walk in the aisle and comparatively, I mean, I know you guys are kicking ass, but like comparatively, I wouldn't even looked any further down the aisle.
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, you literally have done a great job with it. And I think it's super important that not just every company and product, but like all of the companies that are trying to deal with our age group and younger should be taking a lesson out of how you're branding your stuff out, because it makes it so easy on something that is, as you've already described, very complex.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we tried to make it even more simple because a lot of tea companies will come out with a function to a tea.
Yeah.
Right. But it just might not taste good.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to use any names, but there's some teas that are supposed to do some things that just taste awful. So under each function for us, we've got 9 flavors. So under Slenderizer, we've got a Fruity Pebbles and we've got a Chinese Jasmine. And we've also got a Thin Mint Trim and we've got a Lean Green Machine. But we've got a variety of 9 flavors under each category so that the common consumer can find a tea that fits their lifestyle. So Energizer, we can do a Chai Love, we can do a Coconut Mate, or we can do a Black Tie Tropical. There's several different flavors. So there's really a tea for anyone.
Yeah.
And it's all just a little simpler so that the mainstream consumer can do something a little healthier every day.
How did you get into tea? I know we talked about this, obviously. I know the story on this, but for those who you know, haven't followed from before, how did you get into tea? Because as you just mentioned, you're not born and raised in the tea world thing.
No, you know, my business partner, Dan, and I, we were studying abroad in Europe. I was studying in Paris. He was in Italy. And every week we'd take different trips across Europe to you know, experience Europe. And we noticed when we were in Czech Republic, we noticed that tea was everywhere. And it wasn't bagged tea. It was loose leaf tea. And it wasn't just one ingredient of tea. It was tea with several ingredients that had a totally complex experience, taste, and aroma to it. And so that really inspired us, because when you come back here, there is no good tea experience.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to the mall and try and get tea, you're paying $7 to $10 an ounce, which is crazy.
I was first going to ask you, like, why are you going to the mall to get tea? I know, because I actually know the story here, because you went with your mom, right? And you went and got a whole bunch of tea and then spent like oodles of dollars, and she looked at you like you're out of your mind.
Yes. So we wanted to change that. And then the other problem was when you'd go to the grocery store and you'd look at tea, it's just kind of like, well, I don't really know what to do. You know, where do I start?
It all looks the exact same. It's like one brand, and again, we won't name the brands, although I want to, but you need like the one brand that came in and sort of set the tone for the different kind of like different types of tea. And every subsequent brand just layered on top of it with like a slightly different type font and is the same stupid name.
Yeah.
And it's just like, this is, it's dumb. It really is. And you guys, that's what I thought was so cool about it. The first time when I met you about this, it was the idea that you made tea fun to pick different colors, like the branding, everything, just makes it to where it's like, sort of, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe, but I mean, I guess it's fitting. Like alcohol, when I go and shop, if you want to buy like different IPAs, yeah, you know, morons look at the packaging and like, duh, I think that's a cool can, and then they buy that one. But in all reality, like, morons are who buy most of the stuff in the world.
Yes.
The world sells anyway, so I'll put myself in that category. If I can see something that, even if I don't know if it's good, if the branding, the packaging looks cool and it's like, it stands out, you actually made it to where when I went to the store to look at it, I had to end up choosing between 2 or 3 different kinds. I ended up buying all of them. So it's like, oh, you know, all 3 of these are, I'd give this a whirl and, you know, give this a try. The other one, I'd buy 1 because I just think I don't even know what the hell it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an important thing that you guys are doing, I think.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know, more important, one of the beauties about being an entrepreneur is it gives you a platform, And one of the things, we're so lucky to be in the shoes we're in today. Chicago has been so good to us, our partners in, at Jewel and our partners at Mariano's. So we like to give back a lot to the community. And one of the things we're doing, importantly for Chicago, is we're doing a campaign called Spread the Warmth. Last year we did it. Our goal was to pass out hot tea, right? It's hot. It's a common thing. In Chicago, it's very, very cold. January is the coldest year of the month in Chicago.
Month of the year, yep.
Yeah, so in January last year, or this year really, we gathered all our friends, family, partners around the community, and we passed out 500 cups of hot tea and emergency kits and food to the homeless people in Chicago. So we partnered up with Jewel Osco, the Westin, Axion Chicago, the Chamberland of Commerce, and they helped us with emergency kits, you know, shampoo, conditioner, granola bars, bottles of water, and obviously hot tea. And then our community came together and donated a clothing item. So we were able to get together our entire community and really show why Chicago is such an amazing place.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to be in business. It's great to have a great business, but it's even greater to give back. You know, when you can see people come into our office, mothers bringing their children to show them what giving back is all about, that's amazing. And so this year we're doing it on January 20, let me tell you the exact date. It's in January on the January 27th. And
okay.
If people in Chicago are interested in getting involved and helping, you know, it's so cold
is
out
that a
there,
Monday
guys.
Or what day is that?
That's on a Friday.
Friday, okay.
We brew all the tea in our office. We have everyone come into our office. We'll have food, appetizers, and people will have cars that deploy out to the city. We work with local food banks here in Chicago.
Yep.
where the homeless people go and hang out, and we go and we bring them some goodies. You know, if you've ever been in Chicago and you look at some of those unfortunate people, I mean, that's brutal.
It's tough, and that's coming after the holiday season. It's definitely not, you know, not you guys. And I remember when I talked to you last time, you guys were just getting, I think the last time it was maybe around this time last year, or it was sometime a little bit after you'd just done it, I think. No, it was right before you were going to do it, I think. So this is a similar time last time we talked.
Yeah, we did this around yeah. You're right, around when we spoke this year.
Yep.
It was right after it.
Yeah.
And the response was phenomenal. And I cannot thank my colleagues at TST for helping us with this crazy idea. You know, when we told our colleagues that we want to go and pass out tea to the homeless people, we actually called the Chicago Police Department. We told them we were going to do it, and they advised us not to. They said this is probably not the safest idea. We made all of our people who came to our office sign liability waivers just in case something happened. But we went out there, and we changed some people. You know, one person said to one of my colleagues, he said, you know, it's cold when you guys, or it's warm right now when you guys are here, but once you guys leave, it's going to become cold again.
Yeah, of course.
And when you can just provide that small window of excitement for a person that just doesn't really
it's
have
most
it.
Attention they've probably had in people's interest in a long time, and it's valuable. And I think it's unfortunate. I mean, the homeless people in Chicago, and particularly given the fact that a lot of them are mental illnesses and so forth. It's like the forgotten people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we walk by them, and it gets to a point where it's almost like a billboard. You see them walking around, you know, asking for change in the corner of, every corner, but like Madison by the train station. You see the same few guys, and you almost just sort of like walk past them at this point and forget that, you know, when you gave them something. So the idea that you guys are going back out there and giving them tea, and I don't know if you want to give them the booze tea. That's kind of
No, that's a no-no.
Maybe that's a bad joke. I couldn't resist. But, you know, the point is it's a great thing you guys are doing. And it doesn't stop there. I mean, even for us at Technori now, you provide tea at all of our Technori events, and I know all of our audience and fans are very thankful. Chase Auditorium has an issue with liquids and things, and so upstairs having an opportunity to have something is fantastic, and so I am very appreciative for that.
No problem, man. I'm glad we could help. And if anyone wants to learn more about Spread the Warmth and get involved, we need volunteers to help us pass out tea, to drive around the city, and also to help donate clothes and toiletries. So you can learn more at tst.com/spreadthewarmth.
Spread the warmth.
Yes.
I hope people do.
I really do, too.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you one question. Oh, obviously, you guys are very – well, we might as well just do this since you just mentioned where to find TST and Spread the Warmth. You guys are very active on social media. They follow you at TST?
Yep. So, follow us on Instagram, TST, no spaces, just TIESTATEA on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Awesome. Before we let you out of here, I wanted to ask one question because this is – you know, your background not being in tea and necessarily in the food kind of thing, as an entrepreneur, it's a daunting thing. It's sometimes overwhelming. Some people can't do it. Some people, you know, decide to push on through. You obviously are one of those people. When you find what you love and you find an idea and a passion, like I want to have a radio and TV show and I want to launch a company and I want to, you know, showcase startups. I've never done any of this stuff in my life until like a year and a half ago, and now here I am. You decided you want to run tea company. How do you get past that first barrier when you realize, because everyone's going to learn it, and you're going to learn it in your next venture, and I will too, and so on and so forth. When you find out, holy shit, I don't know anything about this. I love it, and I want to do this, and I know I can do it. I know I can do this, but I don't know shit about it. How am I going to make it? How do you get past that like moment where you recognize that you don't know anything?
You know, this sounds so cliche, but you really do got to believe in yourself. And when I say believe in yourself, it's so much more than just thinking you can do it. It's actually going out there every... When you believe in yourself, you're putting it all on the line. You don't believe in yourself and go half, 50-50 on the line. Yep. When you believe in yourself, you put it all on the line. And when you believe in yourself and you work towards that passion, that venture, that idea every single day for a year, 2 years, 3 years... Scott, something good is going to happen.
Yeah.
Something good is going to happen. Whether you realize that this isn't for you and you pivot,
sure,
or whether you figure out all the errors and fix the errors that you've had along the way and make it better, something will happen. But that starts with believing in yourself and putting your all every day. You know, one of the things that I'm very proud of to this day, Jimmy John told me, Jimmy John was one of our mentors when we got started, and he told us a quote that I'll never
forget.
Hence
the packaging.
Jimmy John, huge shout out to him. But Jimmy John said this quote. He said, outwork your competition and listen to your customers. He said, if you do those two things, you will win. Listen to your customers, outwork your competition. One day in 2011, my business partner Dan and I, we went door-to-door in New York, Philadelphia, Seattle, Portland, and Vancouver. We were going to go out of business. We didn't have enough to pay the bills. We had to go get new business by just going door-to-door. We drove out in a car, slept on a couch in New York City, drove to Philadelphia, flew to Seattle, went to Vancouver, and literally just knocked on doors.
Selling coffee.
Selling tea.
Or tea, yeah. What the hell am I doing?
We were...
Drinking coffee, I'm selling.
We were able to double our sales the month after and quadruple our sales the month after that. We knocked on 500 doors and we converted 10%, so we got 50 new accounts. That's the belief I'm talking about. And when you do that every single day with nothing holding you back, no offense, no wife, no kids, no
yeah.
school, you can really make some big moves.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did. And what I urge any entrepreneur out there who's got an idea, if you truly believe in yourself and that idea, put it all out on the line. Quit your job, you know, do what you got to do, put it on the line, because if you work every day towards it, something good will happen.
I want to just say one thing on that, because I completely agree. The first person that told me that this is a horrible idea, I can't say what I said back, but it rhymes with muck off. And it was that's just my approach to things. I have a single-minded determination to myself that I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care at all what people say, whether I can do it or not. It's none of your business. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. The one thing you did bring up, though, that I think people need to pay attention to is the execution part, the hard work part. I think that deep down desire and also having the belief in yourself is one thing, and you certainly have that. Without your work ethic, that's not normal. People don't go to New York and knock on doors. They don't go to Philadelphia, New York, Vancouver, Seattle. They just don't do that. They sit there and like, well, I'm going out of business. I called like six of my friends. I emailed like five people. You know, no one seemed to respond, and then they turn around. It's not that they didn't believe them. They still think they're very cool. They just don't have a work ethic. I think the number one piece here is you have to be driven. You don't know anything about tea. You have to be driven enough to and believe in yourself enough to know you can do it. I know I can learn anything I want to, but I'm driven enough to learn everything there is about tea.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not a person who doesn't look at the parts of your business and your you know, career, profession, whatever it is, your passion, and become an obsessed teacher of the game or student of the game, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
And I think that you have that very rare combination of both where it becomes, I'm going to learn everything there is to know about this and become a stud at it. And, oh, by the way, also know I can. And that's the key. So great words of advice. Thank you, Patrick, for stopping by.
It's been a pleasure,
Scott.
Thank
you for the booze. Thank you for the cups and everything else.
Take a T-shirt.
We got shirts.
Chicago's T-shirt.
This is like being on a Price is Right.
Chicago's Tea Company. You got to have it. Got it right.
Very cool. Thank you so much. We will definitely have you back on again soon. Make sure you check out the Technori event when you're there with Tiesta Tea passing out all kinds of teas and things.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
You can stream this episode and more at technori.com. You can stay up to date with our Technori news feed and other tech bites by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or you can follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.